Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better act right. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, listen, Steve Harvey. Why don't you join me? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Come on, y'all. I said that a little bit wrong this morning, but I'm tired. I just came out the gym. I'm a little out of sorts right now, but it's okay. I'll pull it together. But let me tell you something, man. I got a clear-cut message for you today. I really do. You know, as I've gotten older, I've began to take some supplements. And supplements are to help your body in things that it doesn't produce as much as it used to. You know, you got to take a vitamin supplement, there's mineral supplements, because just, you know, vitamin D supplement, because vitamin D is important. And, you know, as you get older, sometimes your body doesn't produce it at the rate that it used to. And so you take supplements. You know, you got herbs that can help you out with digestion, ginger, you know, things like that. You got, it's a lot of things out there. Once you start talking to people that's in the know at health food stores and things of that nature, and if you're going in there and you're having trouble with this, or you're feeling like you're not, your eyesight ain't quite what it was, you trying to get your hair and your nails together and they tell you to try biotin or something like that, or your joints is feeling a little achy and they recommend glucosamine and chondroitin and, you know, stuff like supplements. And I've take supplements all the time. Supplements are designed to help you replenish what's been depleted in your body. As supplements. Now, there are people I can tell you who can speak a lot more aggressively and a lot more knowledgeable on this subject, but just giving you a brief overview of my understanding of it. Now, if you've been living your life for a while, supplements are necessary for most of us. Now, also, if you've been living your life for a while, spiritually, you may need some supplements because you've just been at it for a while. You done got wore down a little bit. You're tired. Some people around you ain't changing. Some people around you draining. It's just life just keeps on coming. Life don't ever get no easier. It just, you become more knowledgeable about how to handle it. It does not get any easier. You continue to lose loved ones. You continue to have to confront the challenges. It's just that over a course of time, you become experienced and you can handle them better. But life don't get no easier. But spiritually, you get a little bit worn down. Well, you need some spiritual supplements too. And I'm just going to flat out tell you, the more God that you can replenish yourself with, the higher the dosage of God that you are willing to put into your spiritual self, the possibilities then become limitless. You actually have the ability to make a conscious decision to supplement your body, and you have a conscious decision to supplement your spirit. You can do both. So what I did was, I could just tell you what I did. I was taking all these supplements. I started taking supplements when I was about 45, I think. That's when I began. I was thinking about it one day, and I just went, wow, man. I started talking to some knowledgeable people. I found out I needed these things. But then spiritually, man, I started supplementing myself too. I started praying some more. I started trying to gain a little bit more knowledge and wisdom and understanding from scriptures and just try to make sense of all of it, you know, just make a little bit more sense out of my life, make sure that I was on the right path. As a matter of fact, get on the right path, find out my real purpose and my mission in life. And nobody can do that for you. That's something that you have to want to do. But I started supplementing my spiritual side of my life and supplementing my body. Now, I happen to be right now about in the best shape I've ever been in. Technically, I can assure you, though, I am in the best shape spiritually I have ever been in. Now, my body has looked better. It really has. I mean, come on now. At where I am in life, at the stage, with the years I've been walking this earth, man, I'm cool. But spiritually, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. And what it's done for me, y'all, is it's gave me a peace and a calmness. You know, it used to be, man, I used to fight so hard against people who attacked me. Now, man, it ain't that serious to me, because now I have a full understanding that if I come under attack, that God is with me, because that's a promise he made. That's Isaiah 54:17. That's any weapon formed against you, shall not prosper. You can't come and get me. I'm not here for you to take down, because you didn't put me here. So why would I fear a person bringing me down when they're not the reason that I'm here? So when you attack me, you have to be careful, because I ain't ever by myself. I formed a relationship with the Most High that I can rely on for protection, for coverage, and for peace. A lot of times when things used to stress me out, how to run this, how to handle this, how to deal with that. You know, fame is rough, man. And then you put that together with some business, and you put that together with your family. You got a lot of stuff you're trying to tend to. I have a peace of mind about it now, because I have someone who provides me with a sense of understanding and calmness that lets me know that this too shall pass. That it ain't just a saying that I heard old people say, that it ain't just something my mama used to tell me. It's something that can really happen once you get an understanding. This too shall pass. This is just another piece of life that you are now better equipped to handle. I'm telling you what it's done for me. Millions of people out there hear me, man, has done the same thing for them. I'm telling it new to some people, but there's some people that sure enough understand what I'm saying. And then if you have known this but kind of forgot it, it's time for some supplements. So when you get like that, and now you find yourself in a situation with a disease or something, you got to do something. Nah, you got to start juicing all your greens. You got to start detoxing your body. You got to start purifying the system. See, the human body is always had a way to repair itself if you just give it a chance. Your mind has always had a chance to repair itself if you give it a chance. And your spirit always has a chance to repair itself if you give it a chance. It's the only way I can maintain at this level, and it's the only way I have any chance of going further. I have to increase my dosage of spiritual supplements. I got to talk to God a little bit more. I got to pray a little bit more. I got to understand his word a little bit more. That's all I'm telling you, man. If you do that, if you just pray more, if you just study a little bit more, man, just try to get an understanding. Ask him to help you understand. It will open up the possibilities of your life to into a realm you never could have imagined. I'm telling you. That's real, okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
That's better.
Well, I was right up on the mic, Shirley. My lips was actually touching. I thought I was back.
Oh!
But I had misjudged. Oh, hey,
yeah,
bug
you
eyes,
didn't say that.
Yourself. Bug eyes, watch yourself. Because you don't really handle your eye
lips
good. Sharp man, careful. Easy little fella. Hey,
oh, that's
easy.
How we're starting this Friday?
No, I'm just letting you know, I'm finna say something. And all of a sudden, you about to do a lip joke with your big eyes. And then little man, he couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Your lips. So that's how we starting this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what it's going to be.
All
right. 30-something funny might as well be ask your CEO. We can get this thing jumping. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Carla, darling.
Hello, darling. Good morning to you.
Wonderful there, Junior boy.
Morning, Ock.
The fool, king of pranks.
Yes, absolutely, dear uncle, I am here.
Well.
And Jay is off, he's celebrating his daughter. This is important. His daughter becomes a principal today, so he's
there to celebrate that. I thought he had missed a day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's really big, and he's proud of her, and we're all proud of her, so congratulations.
So he went into town to be with his daughter, who's becoming a principal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she got to look out there while she accepted the award and see her uneducated ass dad.
Don't say that, Steve.
Ain't this about nothing. I'm a principal, and the reason I decided to get education was because of him.
Won't he do it?
Yeah. Then, ladies and gentlemen, this is my ignorant ass daddy right here.
And he gonna stand up soon, yeah. She said.
Hell yeah, what's up?
Watch out there now.
Yeah. Got a bright pink and brown suit on.
Yes, represent,
brown
Jay.
Suit, pink window panes, pink tie. Come on, Jay.
Man.
Pink horn rim glasses and pink shoes.
Old school player.
Come on, boy. Don't stop. Don't let it drop. I am going through a couple of fashion changes in my life I'm about to do, I think.
Mm. Oh, speaking of pink and brown window panes, what are you doing?
You know, I'm thinking about wearing a different style of suit on the talk show next year.
Can you give us a clue?
Kind of like the suit I wore on Showtime at the Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
The green one?
Yeah, the green one.
Oh, the
green one.
Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking about going to that.
So you're becoming more colorful, or are you talking about the color or the cut?
The cut.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'll never go back to the pimp days.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wants to.
It's in your heart.
Oh, God, I wants to.
It's in your heart like
but my wife won't let me.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Oh, this little green-eyed thing stopping your boy. I want him back, though.
Oh, I want.
She won't let you be great, Steve.
No, she won't let me be great.
We thank her for that.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, Marjorie. Because she has a lot of style, for sure.
Oh,
yes,
she does.
I got some too. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me back.
Right.
You know, don't stop. Don't let, you know, let my monkey loose.
Really? Hey, listen, we're getting ready for something funny.
We letting these monkeys out.
That's coming up right after this at 32 after the hour. Jesus.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it is time for something funny. You said you would. We wanted to do Ask the CEO this Friday.
Yeah, might as well. Man, my voice needs some rest. It just needs rest, y'all. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've been working. I work
take your throat two out weekends and run some water in a row.
Man. Take what out, little man?
Take your throat out and run some water on it. That's all.
Why?
Well, see, that's tall people can't do that.
Well, it seems like tall people can't clear their throat, doesn't it? Like.
Well, that's because it's so much throat.
It's throat.
Sharp people don't get hoarse because your neck ain't that long.
Sharp people have throats, too.
Thank you. It is throats. All right, Tommy, you have a question for the CEO. Have you cleared your throat sufficiently,
yeah,
CEO?
When the CEO says something to you disrespectful, how do you handle that?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, being the CEO, I say just deal with it. Because what you don't want to do is run up into some more disrespect. You know, I just say what you need to do is just get a bigger pair of panties, Tommy.
What?
You heard
me. Who wearing
me
panties?
I'm talking to you. I ain't saying nothing, Shirley Strawberry.
Wait, what you got her? What, okay, but
no, I ain't got her nothing. Coming? I said you. If you need to understand how to handle it, you need a bigger pair of panties.
Okay. How do I respond to this?
Say you don't wear panties.
I don't wear panties.
Then see, if you don't know how to handle it, you need a bigger pair. You understand what I'm saying? Get some.
Is this the way a CEO is supposed to talk
okay,
to
you? Okay, that's what I wanted to ask.
No, you just said if I say something disrespectful to you, then you fire back. Now, I showed you what happened if you fire back. It gets more disrespectful.
So let me ask you a question.
Is this the CEO?
Let me ask you a
Steve?
Question.
No. Steve is the CEO.
Right, Carla. Good point.
This is just me being able to say it in CEO form.
All right, CEO, I have a question for
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Describe your, so we can be clear, describe your duties as CEO. What do you do?
I run this hill.
You're chief executive officer of the company? Day to day, what do you do?
Cash. I produce as much of it as I can.
Okay.
E, I do it as excellent as I can. And O, as often as I can. That's what CEO mean to
so
me.
Cash.
Create cash and with excellence as often as you can. That make me the damn CEO. Now, what is you?
I think that explains a lot.
Next question.
Okay.
Come on, Junior.
Listen, CEO, I just want to know, we haven't received, like, our contracts for paperwork for next year. Do you plan on giving us?
Yeah, talk to white folk about that.
What?
Yeah, talk to white folk about that. I don't do paperwork. Next question.
Yeah. All right, I got a question. Yeah. Name.
They all upstairs, going up there. Yeah, go ahead. Next question.
Name three things.
Three things.
You could do.
I could do.
To as our employer, to make our lives better.
Make more, be more, and say more.
Mm. That's what you could do to make our lives better?
What did I just say?
Okay.
He didn't answer the question.
Be more, act more, and say more.
All right. Here's a question.
Yeah.
How do we get, as CEO, how do we get promoted, like to go to the next level in the company?
Hey, all I know is CEO.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Any level under that you want, claim it. What you want to be? Secretary of State? You got it.
Okay.
What you want to be? Primary officer? You got it.
Okay.
What you want to be? Chief operating officer? Claim it.
You just can't have your job.
That title ain't available.
No.
I pass out titles like a pass like a Tic Tac. I shake it in your hand. But what I'm not, as long as you don't come over here trying to be CEO, what position are you looking at, Miss Strawberry?
Well, I mean, you know, eventually I would like to become CEO.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen over here.
Well, why not?
So you got to move on.
You put in the work.
Now you put in the work somewhere else. You can put it in all you want up in here. You ain't finna be CEO of this here.
Oh, so no. You're saying do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm saying go do and say your own thing. You ain't coming over here finna be CEO. You want to be CEO, you can be CEO of Strawberry Productions.
Well, in
you
most companies.
Start that. You can be Lift Rock Carla CEO. You can be TNT CEO.
You can
CNO.
You can be Junior Incorporated CEO. Well, you ain't finna be CEO of this here.
Okay.
God. Yeah, this title ain't available. Ain't no moving up over here.
All right.
Yeah, CEO, can I ask you this, though, as well? I've been to some other companies, and I saw they have a nice little relaxation area, break
Excuse
room.
Me? Say that again.
I just walked in some other companies. I saw
Yeah.
And they had a nice little break room. You know, they got TVs in there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't have none of that over here. Can we possibly have that?
No, see, this is how you do it over here. Scoot your chair back away from the table, and that's your area.
That was a good question, Junior.
I know.
That
I thought a horrible answer.
Your break
though.
Room is when you create room to take a break in. Slide your chair back away from the table. Stretch your legs out. There you go. Junior, right now you in your break room.
What about vending machine? What about can we get some healthy
vending
snacks?
Vending machines ain't healthy for you.
Can we get some healthy snacks in
I'm
the
I'm not
going to
kill my employee with Doritos and tato chips and ho-hos and stuff like that. I'm not going to do that to you.
Ho-hos.
I ain't heard that in a minute.
Ding-dongs. Ho-hos.
Yeah.
You know what's up.
All right.
Ding-dongs is round, ho-hos is round. Ding-dongs is round, ho-hos is, you know, rolled up.
Okay.
Gotcha.
It's delicious, but got corn syrup in it. I don't put nothing in the vending machine for my people got corn syrup in it. I'm not going to kill you.
All right. Coming
Drink
up
some
next.
Of this water and get yourself together.
Thank you, CEO.
No, thank you.
Coming up
boo.
Next, yes.
Boo. Boo.
It's the nephew.
Yes.
Boo to get your ass out of here.
Coming up next, it's the nephew with Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Adidas stands by Kanye. Adidas stands by Kanye. You heard me, but come on, Tommy. It is time.
No, but you know, I want to talk about that when we come up because I don't think they should pull sponsorship from this guy.
Okay. We're going to talk about it for sure.
No, really? No.
Mm-hmm. But up next.
I think hospitals should sponsor him.
Psych wards.
Medicine
is that what you're
people.
Saying?
Yeah. He'd be great with medicine people.
Get to your
Come
prank.
Come on, nephew, with your prank. What you got for us?
A wedding and a funeral.
A what?
All at the same
Who's
church. Wedding and a funeral.
This is crazy.
A wedding and a funeral. Here it is.
Hello, this is Ryan.
Hi, I'm trying to, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Who am I speaking to?
This is Josh. Josh over at the, I'm one of the officials at the church where you guys are getting married tomorrow.
Yeah, how you doing, man? I want to thank y'all for that, too, man. We appreciate it.
Good. Well, we definitely hope to make you a member here sooner or later since you guys are getting married, you know?
Hey, man, you know, I'm trying to get this work schedule changed up. You know what I'm saying? They got me working on Sundays now, man. So as soon as I tweak that and move that around a little bit, I'll be there.
Okay, listen, we have a bit of a situation that's come up. We have some problems and miscommunication, and it's definitely been on our side. They had your name, Ryan, down here with your phone number as well as your soon-to-be wife, Sonya. They had her name here, but we didn't want to call her with this. We wanted to just reach out and talk to you and see if it just make you aware of what was going on, okay?
Well, what's going on, man?
There's been a mix-up on scheduling. I don't know if you know Sister Ola May, she passed away a week ago. And you're not a member of the church, so you wouldn't know her, but she's one of the oldest members here at the church. Sister Ola May passed away. And what's going on is you all's wedding is tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Right.
But the actual funeral is at 3 o'clock here at the church.
Okay. What's your name again, brother? What?
Josh.
Okay, look here, brother Josh. Hey, man, we already got this thing in motion, man. We didn't send out damn near 200 invitations, man. I mean, God bless Sister Ola May.
And I understand that, but I mean, you know, there's no way we could have moved it around. Now, the biggest problem, the funeral home is bringing the casket first thing in the morning. So what I wanted to make you aware of, and I didn't want you to tell your wife this, but the actual casket will be in the sanctuary, but we will have it covered.
Hold up, man. Are you serious? Now, look here, man. Y'all need to move this around. I don't know what y'all going to do. If y'all have a fellowship hall in the back or something
Ryan, the only place we can actually put the casket in, if we didn't put it there, is in the actual room that your soon-to-be wife would be changing in. That's the only place.
Man, you got your mom. My wife ain't fixing to change in no room with no dead body. Are you kidding me?
And you know what? I understood that. That's the first thing I thought of. And that's what I said. Let's just put the casket where it goes for the funeral. And we're going to cover it up. And see, basically, you actually getting...
Wow. Man, I can't even believe you called me with this, man. Look here, and excuse my French, man. Yeah, I know I need to get back in the church. I really do. But right now, Doug, this ain't going down like this, man. Now, we didn't okay. already paid the money. And first of all, you know, she shouldn't. I don't even feel like she even had to pay, you know, to hold no wedding over at her church where she paid tithes at. That's the first thing. You know, I ain't like that from the jump, but I went ahead and went with it because she want her pastor to marry us. And now you got the nerve to tell me that y'all rearranged that a funeral gonna happen the same day as my wedding, and my wife got to get dressed in the room with a dead body?
Well, no, we're not going to put her in that room. I'm putting that body first thing in the morning. I'm going to put that body in the right there in front of the pulpit, and we're going to cover it. Now, what you're getting out of this, you get more flowers because there's going to be flowers from the funeral. So I'm thinking that's probably going to be a little bit of a perk for you. I just wanted you to be aware that it's probably going to be more people than you think because some of the people that's going to be at your wedding is really for the funeral.
Hey, hold up, man. Are you serious right now, man? Look here, Doc. I done paid for this wedding to happen at this church, man, okay? And no disrespect to the lady that has passed. God bless her family. I ain't playing. But you not putting no dead body having no funeral at my wedding, man. That's crazy.
She's a member of the church, too.
I don't give a I don't be no member of the church, man. I done paid for this wedding, and it's going to happen tomorrow, man. You not fixing to put no dead body at my wedding. Watch your
Mr. Ryan, I mean no disrespect, but the woman has passed. She is not going to get up. Hey, I mean, what is the problem?
The problem is your called me with this man the day before my wedding, and we didn't schedule this 6 months ago. I gotta spend $25,000-$30,000 on this wedding, okay? And are you gonna tell me that we got to share our wedding with a funeral? What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Sir, let me ask you something. Do you want to have your wedding at this church?
I paid for the and what you mean? Well, I'm having the wedding. Okay, I tell you what, let that body be up in the morning. I'm rolling the right out the street. Y'all just out there in the front and throw flowers like throwing rice. But we gonna have a wedding inside the sanctuary tomorrow. I promise you that.
Sir, I cannot assure you that it won't be. I have no other place to put the body.
Okay, well, I bet you I find somewhere to put it. If I get that tomorrow, there's a body in there. There's going to be a couple of bodies in there. And I ain't. You got two choices, to move that funeral or to reimburse me back this $30,000 out of my already spent. Those are the only two choices I want to hear about. Meet me at the front door tonight with a $30,000 cashier check, or we say to have this wedding up in there tomorrow morning. You heard me? I ain't playing at all. No jokes. What the is wrong with y'all, man? You can do something else, man.
Listen, hey, I understand that. Listen, sir.
I don't want to hear no more from you, man. Now, all I'm saying is it's going to be a wedding at this church tomorrow without the dead body. That's all I'm saying. Push the to
Ryan,
the back, man.
Ryan, there's a bit of an issue that I need to tell you also.
What the can be worse than a dead body? What issue can be worse than a dead body at my wedding, man?
The issue, sir, that is worse than a dead body is, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your best man, Jeff, got me to prank phone call you.
What? That's
Hey, you know what, man?
The best man about to get the best whooping he can possibly get, man. I ain't playing these then got me the day before. This is to get the best beat down possible, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, one more question. What's the baddest radio show in the land, Ryan?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, man.
Who don't like that?
That was crazy.
Man, it's going to happen.
You're going to get your behind beat down.
Who don't like that?
A lot of people don't want it like that.
No.
Well, a wedding and
Carla, sometimes we misschedule things. And the wedding just happened to be right there before the funeral. And we're going to have the casket in there. So just work around it.
Tommy, it's getting close, man. It's two words I think you need to look out for. You, Tommy. You answer them words.
Tommy, you need to be careful. You are the public. Somebody go, you Tommy? Tommy, that is the truth.
Yeah.
If you out in public and somebody go, you Tommy?
But, need to be no.
But remember when somebody did say that to you, Tommy?
At that meat counter.
I was at Ralph's. I was in L.A.
What happened?
You know how you pull your ticket because you want to buy some deli meat and you're waiting? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just sitting in there waiting and this dude say, hey, You the nephew? I said, yeah. Damn your ass, stupid. I said, what? He said, you just a little ignorant blankety blank. I say, hey, man, that's back when I could spin fast. I turned just blah, 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 blah. Man, I cleared that whole damn deli. Sat there and fired off so many cuss words. I feel bad about that. I shouldn't have done that.
All right, listen, coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, we're going to talk about Kanye and his Adidas connection. Adidas is sticking by him right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up in 20 minutes after the hour, NBC News' Lester Holt. He's going to be our special guest, guys. He's going to tell us about his exclusive interview with Meek Mill. You don't want to miss it. This is Meek's first interview since being released from prison, and Lester Holt will be our guest at 20 minutes after the hour. All right, in entertainment news, Steve, you said you wanted to talk about this. Kanye West has left the great state of California. He's out now, for right now. Yeezy reportedly flew out of Los Angeles yesterday to a secluded property in Wyoming. While it might seem like he's skipping town, you know, in the wake of his controversial comments on slavery the other day, we hear he's actually just putting finishing touches on his new album. Don't forget, there is a new album coming out. It's called Love Everyone. Love Everyone is due June 1st.
And then he Mental do that rant on May 1st.
You
ain't nothing wrong with me.
You're putting it together.
You know, but I think Adidas should stand by him. Here's the deal, everybody. Everybody, you don't have to agree with anything anybody says. We're all thinking people.
Right.
You have the right to think and feel what you want. You don't have to agree with anybody.
Right.
You know, everything. And I think Kanye knows the mistake he made in saying it the way he said it.
Yeah.
Because he's released several tweets trying to clean it up. I'm okay with the dude with trying to get himself together. I've just stopped. I don't want to be, because, see, I had it done to me. I don't like when everybody jump on a dude and just start bashing him. And his so-called friends of his, too. But because he's famous and he went on this rant, now, he got to get just crucified.
Yeah.
And we are so fast to crucify people, man. I've had it done to me.
Well, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, I was going to tell you what the CEO of Adidas did say. His name is Casper Roystead. He said, it is clear there are some remarks that we don't support. We are very committed to the Yeezy brand moving forward. Kanye has been and is very important part of our strategy, and he's been a fantastic creator. And that's where I'm going to leave it. That's what the CEO of Adidas said.
And that's cool, because taking him off the Adidas brand doesn't change what he said. Kanye don't really believe what he said. He just snapped. He went hard. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, when you're listening to yourself, and you don't have truth tellers around you, you start believing the press. And, you know, man, you've got to have truth tellers around you when you're famous. That stops you from being, look, man, you can't just say what you want to say because you've arrived in this position of power and authority and grace that God has given you. You've got to temper some of your remarks. I've done a lot of stuff, man, I wish I had not done.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But after I do it, man, I go, damn, man. Damn. Yeah. Let me explain something to you.
You want a do-over.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Dang, I wish I hadn't said that.
Hell, dog, listen to me.
And he's so misunderstood.
To get me at Trump Towers again, you know what you had to do?
What?
Drag you down.
No, I had to be damn near gunpoint.
Yeah,
and what I discovered was politics is not what I do.
All right, thank you, Steve. Entertainment News is brought to you by your good friends at 1-800-Flowers, and they are offering free shipping on select best-selling bouquets, arrangements, and other gifts. that any mom is guaranteed to love. You know Mother's Day is coming up. So to get free shipping and select bouquets and arrangements and other Mother's Day gifts, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon and enter code STRAWBERRY. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code STRAWBERRY. Order today and you can save at 1-800-Flowers.com. Code STRAWBERRY. The offer expires on Tuesday. Happy Mother's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, the lovely Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you, everybody. Good morning, everybody, on this Friday. And this is Ann Tripp with the news. Well, the White House says it cannot totally confirm it yet, but it looks like the North Koreans are about to release three American hostages from a labor camp. And soon, the president went on Twitter to state that the Obama administration was unsuccessful in its attempts to get the three hostages freed. However, the president's math is wrong. President Obama did try to get a hostage freed. One. The other two were grabbed last year after the Donald became president. Of course, White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders brushes past that part.
We certainly would see this as a sign of goodwill if North Korea were to release the three Americans ahead of discussions between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
No date's been set, by the way, for the meeting, but officials say it could happen next month. As the National Rifle Association puts the finishing touches on today's annual meeting in Dallas, where President Trump is scheduled to speak, an interesting situation's developed. You see, attendees of the gun-loving confab are allowed to carry at the event, but guns are banned during the forum where the president and vice president are to speak. And guns are also banned during Trump's appearance at the NRA's annual meeting last year. The NRA says on its website that since the Secret Service is responsible for security, and that it's standard practice for them to bar firearms from the places visited by the people they protect. That's why the situation exists. Some students from Florida's Stoneman Douglas High School are criticizing the NRA on social media for what they see as hypocrisy. In Indianapolis, authorities say a one-year-old little boy was brutally beaten about the face at a daycare center his mother dropped him off at. The child's lips, eyes, and face left horribly swollen. And the baby's mom, Tiffany Griffin, was so upset when she saw her baby, they say she punched a daycare worker. The daycare center is somewhat says a somewhat violent two-year-old girl did it. The girl's mother says the sheriff said that she doesn't believe it, and she doesn't believe the sheriff that her two-year-old did this kind of damage. Bill Cosby has been removed from the Motion Picture Academy of America, along with filmmaker Roman Polanski. Cosby, of course, just convicted of sexual assault. Polanski's been a fugitive after pleading guilty to raping a 13-year-old girl back in 1977, and just getting rid of him now. Stay away from romaine lettuce. Authorities say lettuce grown in the Yuma, Arizona growing region has sickened over 100 people in 25 states. One person is dead in California. Finally, today is International Star Wars Day. You know what that means. May the 4th be with you. Yes, it's May 4th. Back home. That's right. And we'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
As promised us, joining us now is one of the most acclaimed anchors of NBC of all time, NBC Nightly News, as a matter of fact, and Dateline NBC. He has a Dateline exclusive with rapper Meek Mill, and it's going to air this Sunday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC. So let's find out more about this exclusive interview and some behind-the-scenes stuff. Please welcome to the show our buddy, Mr. Lester Holt.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, Lester
Holt. Good morning. How are
Lester,
you?
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
This is Dreams and Nightmares, the Meek Mill story. It airs this Sunday, everybody, at 7 p.m. Eastern. And Meek wants us to know some things are going on. So, Lester, what can you tell us, man?
Well, I mean, you know, I spoke to Meek on the telephone when he was in prison, but we didn't know if and when he'd get out on bail. And then our cameras were down, you know, shooting for this program, and we got word he was about to be released. So my producer rushed down to the prison. We got him coming out. We were on the helicopter with him. You remember he rode on a helicopter to the 76ers game. So we're on there. We're in the car with him. He's FaceTiming with Kevin Hart, you know, and all his family. It was a magical moment. Then, of course, he gets to the game and he rings the ceremonial bell. And then we spoke to him the next morning because we talked about all the issues his case has raised. I mean, here's a guy that when he served, 6 or 7 months for the original crime, but he was on the hook in this parole system for 8 years that kept snapping him back. And he's kind of become a symbol for what many people see as a wrong in the way we handle parole in this country. And he recognizes a lot of guys he left behind in prison who are going through the same thing. And he knows this is the moment that he is a symbol that has brought attention to this. So he really reflects on that. We had a really good conversation.
Wow. What was your takeaway of him as just as a man?
Well, he's matured. Now, he was 18 years old when he got busted. And, you know, he's grown a lot. And, of course, you know, from the time he got out of prison originally, you know, his career started to take off. And then this, you know, probation system kept snapping him back for, you know, what his lawyers say were technical violations. You know, he had popped a wheelie in New York. He got into an altercation in an airport in St. Louis. But he wasn't charged in any of those cases. But those were part of the justification, you know, for putting him, you know, back in prison for 2 to 4 years. So, and then the new part of the story is that there are questions now about his original conviction. It turns out he was convicted based on the testimony of one police officer. Come to find out, that police officer was on a list that the DA had of police officers that you do not call to testify because they're not trustworthy. So the whole case is kind of snapping back now.
Wow.
That's good.
Okay.
More with Steve's conversation with Lester Holt about his upcoming exclusive interview with Meek Mill in about 10 minutes at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, we're back. We got Lester Holt. We're talking about this incredible story about Meek Mill. It's a Dateline exclusive called Dreams and Nightmares. And who better than Lester Holt to do the interview? So, Lester, you know, this is really crazy because, regrettably, I have a lot of friends who were, involved in the probation system. I've been on probation myself.
I have, too.
I know. I did a 5-year
program. Did you want to tell Lester Holt that, though?
What?
Sometimes you tell
Dateline episode. This is Lester Holt, Steve.
No, but this is important because parole, probation is a good thing because the idea is to lift people out of, you know, whatever trouble they got into and give them a path back into society.
Right.
And what Meek and his lawyers argue is like, look, you know, here's a guy who had a good job. You know, he was a rapper. He was making money. And they argue that the system should help him, a guy like that. And yet it kept snapping back and putting him back in jail. Now imagine, you know, if you're not Meek Mill and you don't have a big career and you're trying to get a job and, you know, try to feed your family. So that's really the crux of the issue. I mean, a lot of people have been in this system.
Yeah, because you don't have to be charged with a crime to violate probation. Violating probation is standing in the company of another person that's been convicted.
Okay.
Just so many things they can violate you on. Yeah. If you're standing on a corner with a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or contact with police. And in Meek's case, you know, his probation had a lot of requirements about reporting, that if you're going to go to another city or another state, you have to file a report about your whereabouts. You know, he was a rapper. He was on tour. He says, you know, sometimes they got it wrong. You know, things shifted. He ended up here, not there. But those, as you point out, things like that are violations. I mean, they are technical violations. But the bottom line, in Meek's story, he was never convicted of another crime. You know, it goes back to when he was 18. He got in trouble. But since then, he's never been convicted. Steve, you're right. Any contact with the criminal justice system, you can get snapped right back into prison.
That's really crazy. And now he's being more like a spokesperson, or I hate to say poster child, but this is horrible, but he's a spokesperson for a lot of people. He said that he left back in prison. This is going to be a great interview, everybody. It's a Dateline exclusive. It's called Dreams and Nightmares, The Meek Mill Story. It airs Sunday, May 6th at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Central Time. Let's all tune in. Lester Holt, man, I love you, man. Thank you.
Hey, Steve, always a pleasure, man. You take care of yourself.
All right, thank you. Lester Holt, everybody. That'd be a great story, man.
Bye, Lester.
Bye-bye.
That's going to be a great story. It's really interesting because I never really knew all of the particulars of the case with Meek. Mm-hmm. I just knew everybody was talking about him and, you know, I just never knew what it was, but this is really this. I'm gonna make sure I check.
Oh yeah, everybody's gonna be watching this one for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
But I want to know what it is about this judge that I keep hearing about.
Oh,
it's so controversial. That's what I want to hear about. Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Judge
Janice Brinkley.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely do. I want to hear it out of Meek Mill's mouth. I want to hear what he has to say about his entire experience, about what he's going to do going forward, all of that. You know, I'm sure at some point he's going to want to get back in the studio, you know, all of that, and produce new music. So it's, I'm sure it's going to be a compelling interview. And who better to do it than Lester Holt? Because he's one of the greats.
Yeah, I want to say I could do it, but I'll mess it up. No, I'm going to say something really wrong. Get both of us back on probation. Me and me will be in prison then.
Well, what did Harvey say?
They'll dig up my old probation. You violated your probation.
Why you talking?
Yeah, now that you brought it up, we done looked your ass up. You come on down here, you and me. Matter of fact, y'all sellies. Meek looking at me like, damn, OG.
Yeah.
Old ass homie, you had to say that? What? Now me and Meek in there fighting, Meek just whooping my ass. Because I'm tired of fighting. Meek just wearing my ass out.
So again, it's going to be a Dateline exclusive, Dreams and Nightmares, it's called. The Meek Mill Story airs this Sunday, or it airs Sunday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Be Dreams and Nightmares with Steve.
Yeah.
Steve in there, too.
7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Coming up, the nephew's on tap. He'll have a prank phone call for us right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter, subject, my husband is not handling his business. Okay. Mm. But up next, the nephew is here with today's prank phone call. What you got, King of Pranks?
Musty's son.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Talk about somebody's baby.
Your baby, Musty.
Oh.
We got to do something about this now. Your baby, Musty. Run it, cat. Musty's son. Really, that's...
You Tommy?
That's yeah, that's it right there. That's all we got to say, dog.
Two words right there. Two words. Tommy.
Hello?
Hello. I'm trying to reach Vanessa, please.
This is she.
Hi, Vanessa. My name is Robert. I'm the one of the owners. You know my wife, Michelle. We own the daycare.
Yes. How can I help you?
Okay. We've been, I think we've had your son, Malik, probably close to a year now. Am I right?
Yes, you have. Is everything okay?
No, everything is fine. Everything is fine. I don't think we have a problem that we can't clear up. I have a question for you. Have you been noticing anything different about Malik, like concerning hygiene at all?
Hygiene? No, not that I can recall. What are you talking about?
Okay, how old is Malik?
He's 2.
Okay, well, we seem to have come across a little glitch here that we're going to try to take care of here at the daycare. Actually, my wife didn't. I told her I would make the phone call and leave her out of it. I know you see her every day once
yeah,
when you drop.
Yeah, but what glitch are you talking about? What is this glitch?
I'm sorry?
Glitch. What is this glitch that you want to talk about? I'm confused.
Okay, well, actually, what we're having is it seems like every day here lately for the last 2 months, Malik has been, you know, very musty. You know, he hasn't been really sweaty, but just real musty.
Okay, you clearly have the wrong child because I give my son a bath every night, and most mornings before he leaves for school, I give him another bath again. So, yeah, I'm pretty positive you have the wrong child.
No, ma'am. Your son is Malik, right? And he's 2 years old. You guys have been here with us right close to a year now, correct?
Yes, and?
Okay, and he's a cute little kid with the curly hair. I know exactly which one he is. So what I'm saying to you is that we are having problems. He's just reeking, you know. He's real musty.
Okay, you know what? My son does not reek. I don't know what child you're talking about, but you're not talking about my child. I just told you I make sure that he gets a bath every night. So that's not my child. My child is very clean.
Okay, well hang on, Vanessa. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this is why my wife didn't want to call, okay? And I'm glad I'm actually the one that made the call. What we need to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try a little experiment for the next month or so.
Experiment?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean experiment? What kind of experiment?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some male deodorant on him.
What?
Just for the next month, and we'll see how it plays out.
No. You're not going to put anything on my child. That's not going to happen.
Okay, well, ma'am, I'm trying to fix the problem here. I just wanted to call.
He doesn't have a problem. I already told you that my son is clean. You're not going to put any on him, and if you do, it's going to be a problem. Do you understand me?
Okay, ma'am, I'm not trying to have an argument with you. What I want you to know is...
Well, I'm not trying to have an argument either, but you're talking about putting deodorant on my child. You can't do that. I'm not going to have that happening. Please don't make me have to come down to that school for you and your wife.
Okay, ma'am, listen, we're going to have to do something about your child. Your child is musty, okay? And you're sitting here getting an attitude with me, and I'm trying to let you know your child is musty.
This is some nonsense. Maybe you're the one that's musty. Maybe you and your wife are musty. My child is not musty. I keep telling you that I bathe him every night. Which part of that don't you understand?
I understand everything that you're saying. Maybe it's the soap. Maybe something is not taking effect. I'm not sure, okay?
But maybe he doesn't smell it right, because I don't know what child you're smelling, but you're not smelling my child.
On him.
You are not using male deodorant on my child. Do I need to come down there for you with the cops and sue your entire establishment? You don't want that to happen. Stay away from my child. Are you crazy? You know, matter of fact, where's my son?
Ma'am, your son is fine. Your son is in there with the rest of the kids. They're playing. You know, today is the first day I sprayed a little bit of male deodorant on his arm.
You did what? Let's
see how that worked out.
Okay, so you clear. Look, Cheryl, can you cover for me for a couple of minutes? I'm bringing my there right now. I'll be there within the hour, because you must be crazy. What do you mean you sprayed my son?
Ma'am, I just sprayed a little bit of deodorant on him just to see if we can...
I didn't give you permission to do that, and I keep telling you that there's nothing wrong with my child, and you took it upon yourself to go and spray my child, and you weren't supposed to do that. Are you crazy? I'm bringing my... right now.
Okay, well, what are you coming here for? The boy is, your son Malik is fine. Why are you coming here?
No, he's clearly not fine. If you're going around spraying, why don't you spray your, because clearly your smelling and reeking and funky as hell. I ain't giving you no to spray my child.
Ma'am,
I'm going to come down there, and I promise you, I'm going to shoot all y'all, because you look crazy.
Okay, let me say this, ma'am. Your son is musty. He's been reeking for the last
few months. My son is not musty. How many times have I told you that he's not musty?
Okay?
You know what? I ain't even trying to hear you, because you're clearly crazy. How you go around spraying people's kids? And I'm with my child. Did you smell the other kids? You know what? I'm about to get in my car and come down there for your ass, because you must be crazy.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Why did you hang up on me? I'm trying to fix the problem, ma'am.
Wait, what the you want? I told you that I'm coming down there. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
But I needed to let you know one more thing that's going on here.
What could you possibly need to let me know? Because I'm on my way to right now.
Where are you now? Are you in your car? Where are you?
I am heading to my car, about to get in my car to come down there for because you must be crazy spraying my child.
Before you get to your car, I need to tell you one more thing about your son, okay?
Please, what you possibly have to tell me?
I want to tell you that
what?
This is, listen to me, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your girlfriend Cheryl got me to prank phone call you.
What the f***? That f***, you know? I'm standing here in the parking lot about to come down there for and that f*** knew exactly what I was about. I'm going to get her, because I'm thinking, I know my child is musty. I know my child is clean, and he don't smell. Ooh, I'm going to get her.
I just talked to her. She said she's right here in her cubicle. You got to call her right now. I said, okay, just chill out. I'm going to call her.
I'm
going
to get her. You don't know.
Hey, is Malik nice and clean?
Malik is always nice and clean and smelling right, so I don't know what the hell you were talking about. I was like, not my child. He got the wrong child. You are about to get it. You don't even know.
Oh, man. All right, Vanessa, you got to tell me one more thing, baby. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The one and only Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, was that better than when I was at the grocery store and that lady said, "You look like somebody." And I said, "Oh, Halle Berry." She said, "Oh,
Girl, bye."
Like she was insulted.
Come right after her.
What's right after you, Tommy? What's after that?
That ass woman?
Yeah, it's right there. We just need a confirmation.
Yeah.
That's all we waiting on.
Just so I don't do this to the wrong person. Little
my
man,
son,
you Tommy? Hey, fella, you Tommy?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
That's it, dog. Confirmation.
Somebody hold my hat. Cool.
That's how it's going to happen, Tommy.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go.
It's going to happen.
All right, thank you, nephew. Switching gears, this is on a serious note, guys. The two black guys, remember, who were wrongly arrested at a Philadelphia Starbucks in April. Well, they've reached a settlement with the city, the mayor's office, 23-year-olds Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson.
They settled on $1 each if the city set up a $200,000 fund tied into nonprofit organizations that will help young entrepreneurs in the city. The strawberry letter is coming up next, all right? The subject, my husband is not handling his business. Wait till you hear this. Hey, Mother's Day is just around the corner, and while brunches are being booked and trips are being planned, there are a lot of us who won't be able to make it to celebrate with Mom. With 1-800-Flowers.com, distance doesn't mean anything because you can still brighten your day with a beautiful bouquet. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. 24 multicolored roses for $24.
And let me tell y'all something else. With a bright and a beautiful mix of premium roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show your mom just how much she's loved. And Lord, have mercy, don't we mean it. Don't put this off. Order today.
To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for only $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code STRAWBERRY. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code STRAWBERRY.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today's Strawberry Letter, guys, is sponsored by 1-800-Flowers. This is so huge. I love this. Listen up. 1-800-Flowers.com wants you to honor your mom this Mother's Day by sharing her wows, okay? How she wows you with everything she does. We all have moms. We know that our moms are just, even if we don't still have them now, what she did for us is, you know, we can't compare it to anything. She always wowed us. We want to hear your hashtag moms who wow story, okay? For a chance to win a trip to Provence, France, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/win to enter and get the rules. All right, time for the letter. Now listen, if you want some advice, if you want some advice on relationships, on work, on parenting, on sex, on other stuff, dating, submit your strawberry letter to steveharveyfm.com and click submit strawberry letter. All right?
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, strawberry letter.
Subject, my husband is not handling his business. Hi, Steve and Shirley. I really need your advice. I'm a 32-year-old woman and my husband is 37. When we first got married, our sex life was amazing. About 3 years into our marriage, intimacy became an issue. My husband started making excuses for not wanting to do it. He never wanted to have sex anymore. When we did do it, he would just lie there like he forgot what to do. So I came out of my comfort zone to try to get him excited. I would turn on porn, talk dirty to him, go to bed naked, get my hair done regularly, and even dress sexy. Nothing worked. After a while, I started to feel unattractive and unwanted. I questioned his commitment to me and our relationship, and he swore to me that he still loved me and that he didn't think we had a problem with our sex life. I suspected that he was cheating, and I snooped through his things, but I never found anything. So I started planning to have an affair with a guy that I worked with. I started staying out and entertaining this man at his house, but that didn't work out for me, so I ended that fling. My husband could feel that something wasn't right, so when I stopped coming in late, he changed. He was all over me, and we were having lots of sex, and everything was great. Then, about 7 months ago, we fell into another dry spell. I can't take this anymore. I'm only 32 years old, and my husband is not handling his business in the bedroom. I'm screaming on the inside. What's a woman to do? Please help. Well, it sounds like you've done pretty much everything, you know, to get it going on in your marriage and in the bedroom. But really, I got nothing here. Either he's no longer attracted to you in that way.
I got it, Shirley. Don't worry about it. I'm here for you.
Okay, I know you are, darling.
Take your time.
Okay, either he's no longer attracted to you, like I said. He's no longer interested in being married or being married to you. Or he has some sort of medical or mental issue going on. Or maybe he's bisexual or gay. Or maybe he's just plain lazy. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just not into you anymore, like the book and the movie said. Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I got.
You should have just left it at that. You didn't have well, to turn the dude gay, Shirley.
No, I didn't turn him gay. I'm just throwing it out there. You never know. He's not interested. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, here's the deal. classroom is in session. May I have your undivided attention?
Yes, sir.
Hey, don't just poo-poo my answer like that.
You poo-pooed it.
I'm talking to Steve.
Wait, what?
I'm talking to
Shirley,
you.
I ain't said nothing about your answer.
No, the way you said it. I took offense to that. And that's okay, isn't it?
Don't. Hello? You know what, man? Just go on and
Hello?
Do your part. Just,
what did I say?
Class don't is buy in session? Into
her. I just said class is in session. I know, have your undivided attention.
I know.
Anybody poo-pooed on
okay,
you? I ain't saying nothing about you.
Don't dismiss it. Okay. It was good stuff in there.
Wow. I didn't say it wasn't.
Yeah, I can tell. She didn't feel comfortable with it. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm good. I'm good.
All right, tell me.
Tell me, quit being an instigator. Quit being messy.
Yeah, you worry about your W.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
And your height.
My husband is not handling his business. Mm. She 32, he 37. They first got married, they was having sex all the time, everywhere. About 3 years into the marriage, intimacy became an issue. My husband started making excuses for not wanting to do it. He never wanted to have sex anymore. And when we do it, he would just lie there like he forgot what to do. Mm. Now, look, let's just get to this letter. Because I already know it's one of three things. And that's all it is. But since you want to go down the letter, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out of order. Here is the one of two things that's wrong, but there is also a third thing. I'm going to say that for last. There could be, number one, a financial issue. How is your man doing in terms of where he wants to be in life? Is he where he wants to be? Does he feel like he could do more? Is he behind the eight ball? Is he playing catch up? Because when we are not financially secure and we don't got our money together, and why we gonna make it to take care of everybody, it throws us into something. Women have a biological clock that ticks. Men have a financial clock that ticks. His financial clock alarm could have gone off. That's one reason. It could be purely financial. Them bills, the burden of having to take care of everybody, how much he making, how much he get to keep. Can he go play golf? Can he buy a pair of shoes? Do you have everything you want? What is it? What is it? What is it? It could be financial. Second reason, it could be a physical problem. Impotency in men is a big thing. All you got to do is watch TV. They got a commercial on every 5 minutes. GNC got testosterone, got Big Frank Thomas in there talking about, I take these testosterone tablets. I'm back. I sure wish my husband would take one. Well, get him some. Then they got the Viagra commercial. Dude in there got a 100 milligram pack just stuck in his luggage where you ain't got a cat a whole bottle. And they got his luggage open. Why he got this pack of Viagra laying out in the open in this damn luggage? Yeah. And somebody could take your pill. Now your weekend is shot. Seattle's got them two white people holding hands in the bathtub. Well, where's you at where you got two separate bathtubs sitting next to each other on a mountain?
Yeah.
Nice commercial, ain't true. Seattle's, Viagra, testosterone, alpha male, extends.
Mm-hmm. You extend.
Now, that could be his problem. But I think the problem is deeper than that. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the third reason that you might have to look into.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's go with part two of your response to today's strawberry letter. My husband is not handling his business.
Well, he ain't. Mm-mm. He ain't handling it. You 32, 33, y'all first started having sex. It was amazing. Now 3 years in, y'all hit something wrong. And you don't know what it is. And then when you do have sex with him, he laying there like he done forgot what to do. Lack of interest. Something is on his mind. One of two things I told you, but it's a third thing too. And it's in your letter. I just want to point it out. It could be financial. The man ain't where he wanted to be. When we got financial woes and worries on us, man, it changes us. Sexual appetite diminishes a bit because we're trying to figure out how to get this thing.
Right.
It could be financial. Financial clock is ticking. Second reason, here's the other reason. It could be a physical problem. You see the commercials on TV. Viagra got a new package. You can buy 100 milligrams, the weekend package. Put one in your luggage. But now he got it right up under the fishnet on his luggage so the TSA man can see it, unzip it, act like he's searching. Now he got his Viagra. Now your whole weekend shot. See, Alice has got commercials. Everything. There's an alarming note on one of the commercials, just a side note. If you have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, call your doctor. Why would I do that? Why would I call anybody?
That's not a long time.
4 hours? I'm not calling nobody.
What are you doing?
I'm taking time-coded selfies.
To go off.
I'm going to record this from every angle. That's 1 hour. Still here.
Wow.
An hour. You get an hour. You doing something. 2 hours. I got to send this to somebody.
Too much.
Okay, so there we have it. Now, here's the third reason, young lady, that you might have to look at. And I discovered it in your letter. You said when we do it, he would just lie there and act like he forgot. Ah, here we go. So I came out of my comfort zone to try to get him excited. So now you didn't come out your comfort zone to get him excited. I would turn on porn, talk dirty to him, go to bed naked, get my hair done regularly, and even dress sexy. Nothing worked. Okay, so let's pump the brake. So before all this was happening, what were you doing? Wasn't no talking dirty? You ain't never go to bed naked? What was your hair looking like before you started getting it done regularly?
Really?
And you even started dressing sexy. So you was Jane Hathaway before this started.
Make it about her.
No, I'm asking. I'm not making about her, but I want her to see. Could he have become bored because you stopped caring for yourself? I'm just asking. I don't know this. I'm just giving you the three things, the financial reason, his physical medical problem, or is it you, something you've done? Then after a while, I started feeling unattractive. So you're going to take your little fast tail down here and start having an affair with this man down at the job. And then as you so eloquently put it, I started staying out and entertaining this man at his house. Oh, you're entertaining now. Oh, so what are you doing now? Oh, you're 32, now you're an entertainer. What he got a pole in the house? What's happening? What you doing at his house that's so damn entertaining? See, you didn't want to write it in your letter, but you started having sex with this man. That's what you did. So that didn't work out for me. So I ended the fling. My husband could feel that something wasn't right. So when I stopped coming in late, he changed. He was all over me because he missed you. See, you were at the other man's house doing all the entertainment. He missed you. So he had a chance to miss you. Maybe y'all need to have some date nights and create the miss you part of it. Then you need to come in here and do all this entertaining you was doing across town. Hello. Hello. Maybe you need to come out your comfort zone. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you what it is, but it's one of them three things. It's either a financial problem he having, he got a physical problem, and he need to look at some of these commercials and get down there and see a damn doctor, or it's you.
Yes,
yeah. And what is you wearing over there while you entertaining?
Yeah.
Bring all them monkey costumes to the house.
Because you ain't been wearing them yet.
Circus outfits. We ain't seen none of this. Yo, you're a French nurse over there. You got feather dusters, whips, high heel shoes, patent leather boots. You got panties with openings on them. What is all this at my house? Then about 7 months ago, we fell into another dry spell. I can't take this anymore. I'm only 32. My husband's not handling his business in the bedroom. I'm screaming on the inside. What's a woman to do? Please help. I don't know what y'all do when y'all scream on the inside. I know what we do when we scream on the inside.
What?
We start hollering on the house.
So do we.
We start some hollering somewhere. Okay, sure. All right.
Yeah.
Silence for. Gotta let them know.
Okay. Well.
Update them. Uh-huh.
great bit of information.
Yeah, glad you're here.
Well,
you're saying it could be some sort of medical or mental issue as well. I agree with that.
Shirley, you don't have to clear this up with me.
Steve, we're just conversing.
We're conversing because you think I said something about your answer.
No, that's not it.
I thought your answer was excellent.
We're just having a discussion,
Steve. Why
are
you bringing your answer back up, Shirley?
Because we have time. We have time. That's all, because we have time.
She can bring it up if she wants.
Yeah, and it's my letter.
Yeah,
I didn't say we can't go back, Carla, but I'm just saying.
That's what it sounds like.
No, but seriously, there is a problem here. We just don't know what it is.
Oh, I know what it is.
What do you think it is?
No, I'm not. We can't talk about it.
No, we can.
It's her.
Oh, see. Right there. You want to blame the woman. See.
I think one of them is.
She done went over there and had the affair. She went through the man's phone, found nothing. She went and had the affair. Now you want us to be cool with this. This heifer wrong.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. This is a good letter. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's strawberry letter at My Girl Shirley. All right. Coming up in about, right after this, in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about Kevin Hart. All right.
Kevin.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Whoa, this story right here hurt my heart. The man who allegedly tried to extort Kevin Hart over a sex tape has been arrested, guys. Reports Page Six. This is
that
all according
foul.
To Page Six. Yes, his name is Jonathan Todd Jackson. He was charged with 2 felony counts of extortion for trying to extort an undisclosed amount of money from Kevin between August 25th and August 30th of last year. This is according to a press release from the Los Angeles County DA's office. Jackson allegedly had a videotape of Kevin Hart with a woman in Las Vegas and then is accused of trying to sell the recording to numerous celebrity news websites. This is according to prosecutors now. Jackson was a close friend of Kevin's for like about 15 years, they're saying. So Kevin tweeted he was mind blown, he was hurt, he was at a loss for words and simply in complete disbelief at the moment. Wow. And by the way, Jackson could face up to 4 years in jail if convicted. Yes, Tommy.
Ain't he on SWAT with Shamar Moore?
No, he was.
Okay, yeah, of course.
On SWAT. No.
All right, we got to move on to, yeah, that's crazy.
He in the middle of it right now. No, see, but it's like this. But I said this, though.
You did.
This is your inner circle. That's why you constantly have to take inventory of people around you. I've had this happen to me, man, on numerous occasions. People that you thought loved you, that you trusted, but they see a way to get some more, and here they come. It has happened. I don't know of a celebrity that has not happened to. But this dude did was vile. First of all, how you get that set up? See, because neither Kevin nor the woman knew of any video. Mm-hmm. The woman really didn't know.
She said she felt like a victim.
Yeah, this dude, man, so foul. And I feel for Kevin because his heartbreak is real because you go, damn, dog, my dude. And now Kevin got to go through everything he's ever done for this dude. And please know he done a lot, but it ain't ever enough. Man, when you're dealing with a hater, I don't care what you do, it ain't ever enough. But everybody, you all have that someone in your life. Everybody's got that somebody in their life that no matter what you do for them, it ain't enough. And tell me you ain't got that person or you ain't had him before. You can't help them enough.
Yeah.
Dog, every time they come to you, you giving them something. It ain't ever enough.
Say it.
It ain't ever enough, man. Yeah. But you know how many people I done had? Dog, I'm telling you, man, this year.
Yeah.
This year, last year, I got people, man, I don't care what you give them. What you allow them to be exposed to, it ain't enough, man. They want your life. Dog, and they ain't going to do what you do. And they ain't put the time in to be who you are, but they want your life. That's messed up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's foul. Your boy videotaped.
Kept it 100, though.
That's foul, man.
Dog, he did it. First of all, because Kevin is my dude.
Love him.
So I don't like talking about, because, you know, look, him and his wife,
they got to go through the healing process.
Yeah.
And I'm all for them. But the only way this happens is somebody got to know that it's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Got to have access to your room and preset everything up. That's the only way. That ain't no maid. A maid don't know what you about to do, who you with. Maids don't know that. So you can take maids off the list. I told him, I said, this dude, you know him. This somebody, I'm telling you. And sure enough, here it comes. It's him.
Yeah, that's really heartbreaking. It is. All right, so switching gears, another hot story right now. Camille Cosby, Bill Cosby's wife, has finally spoken out publicly since her husband has been found guilty of drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand in a Philadelphia suburb back in 2004. Camille Cosby called it mob justice. She's been married to Bill Cosby since 1964. She has gone after the Montgomery County District Attorney, Kevin Steele, the media, and Cosby's accusers in a statement that alludes to racial injustice, okay? The overall media, Camille Cosby says, with their frenzied, relentless demonization of him and unquestioning acceptance of accusers' allegations without any attendant proof, have superseded the 5th and 14th Amendments, which guarantee due process and equal protection, and thereby eliminated the possibility of a fair trial and unbiased jury. Bill Cosby was labeled as guilty before the media and accusers said so, she said. She accused the district attorney's office of an unethical campaign to destroy her husband and has called for a criminal investigation of that district attorney and his cohort. She evoked the trials of Emmett Till in 1955 and Daryl Hunt in 1994. For Camille Cosby's full statement, you can go to steveharveyfm.com.
Wow.
Wow.
Emmett Till?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a wife.
Look, she's his wife. Yeah. Well, what do you expect? She's going to stand by her man.
She's going to support her husband. Absolutely.
You know, she may have a valid point. Because Janice Dickinson came out and said she lied between the book and her testimony. That's really, really crazy right there.
Well, hopefully they'll...
Camille Cosby has a right to make a statement.
Absolutely.
She absolutely does.
And she has a right to feel how she wants to feel about
And something, look, you had a hung jury. Something happened.
Because the first time.
From to my understanding, some things were allowed in this retrial that wasn't allowed the first time. And that could have been the difference, you know.
All right, it is time to cleanse our mind, our body, and our spirits, all of that, with Steve's health and wellness segment coming up at the top of the hour. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, this is what I'm calling everybody, the Steve Harvey Fitness and Wellness segment. Fitness and wellness, both body, mind, and spirit. We're going to be talking about all those things in the Steve Harvey Fitness and Wellness segment. This is it now. And back again with us is my friend. He's my personal physician. And Marjorie goes to him also. He's the co-founder of the Beehive of Healing Integrative Medical Center. It's based in L.A. He's a family medicine instructor at Western University of Health Sciences. He's also an accomplished author, and he's got a new book, and we've been talking about it. It's called The Clarity Cleanse. And what it does, everybody, it outlines a transformative approach to live a more peaceful and healthy life. Well, he's back today with a follow-up for us. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Habib Sadeghi.
Welcome back.
Welcome
back.
Thank Dr. Habib, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling so blessed, and it's wonderful to be asked to be back. That means I'm doing something right. So thank you for being generous with me.
Let me tell you what it was. The crew here was so captivated with some of the things you were telling them. They're all into it now. You know, you've gotten four brand new clients out of this deal, too, because they all are going to come see you. But in this book, let's talk about this
the
today.
The book is amazing, by the way.
The
it
Clarity
is.
Cleanse. Shirley has some questions about it.
Well,
you outline a 90-day process to establish clarity in the mind, body, and spirit. And that's exactly what I've taken as a part of the Steve Harvey Health and Wellness segment. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the mind, the body, and the spirit. But there's 12 steps to the process. Tell us a little bit more about that. How does a person get started in the 12-step process?
You know, Mrs. Strawberry and I, when I came in, they mentioned a particular person. And I said, oh, yeah, I was walking by and I saw the TV and some of the things that, you know, that they were talking about. And I could feel myself getting angry and opinionated, you know. And look, the book is about how I was able to walk away with having a terminal illness. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm just really happy that you guys are all healthy. But look, people are sick out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the rate of obesity, you look at the rate of diabetes, cancer. Look, 1 in 3 women are getting hypertension. Mm-hmm. 1 in 3 women are getting cancer. 1 in 2 men are getting cancer. So, a way to give back was really to write this book. And what really saved my life wasn't really all that which I learned in medical school. It wasn't. To be very frank, some of what I learned in medical school can easily kill me. Right. Mm. And and there are a lot of dead doctors out there. So what really...
Hold on. Hey, what did you say? No, that's real talk. He says a lot of dead doctors
that's
out there.
Well, I'm telling you. Look, our profession has one of the highest rate of divorce. You know, when you look at the doctor's children, they're some of the most arrogant, you know, delinquent children. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the highest, one of the highest rate of drug abuse, okay? Why? Why is that? Why is it? How could you be a healer? And have all that, right? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, what saved my life was my auntie. I think I was about maybe 10 and a half, 11, and my auntie lived in a little village, and she had chickens. And I remember one day I realized that my auntie was like getting pepper and rubbing pepper underneath the belly of chickens. Oh, confused. Yeah. At that really young age, I'm like, well, what is my auntie doing, you know, peppering up the chicken? Initially, I thought, you know, they were going to kill the, you know, chicken, and we were going to have chicken for dinner.
We
right?
do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not what she was doing. I kept asking, and she kept smiling, and eventually, she said, shh, I'm peppering up the chicken because, when I rub pepper underneath their belly, it makes them horny, and they will allow the rooster to have sex with them so that the eggs that they lay will be fertilized so we can get more chicks. Let me tell you something. That piece of information saved my life.
Because
when they gave me the diagnosis, mm-hmm. I published my entire medical records from City of Hope in this book. Look, they gave me 30% chance of survival. Literally, it's in there. They say 70% chance of micrometastasis, which is really a cuss word. It means you're screwed. Look, let me tell you something.
You're out of here.
It's what saved me was at that moment when the doctor looked at me and he said, listen, here's what's happening. I realized what my auntie had taught me. I didn't want anybody to pepper me up. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose control. I said, well, wait a minute. God gave me life and I need to go back and I need to center myself. And I need to choose from that place of being. And that's what really saved my life. So right now, what is that book about? You know, God bless her. She's so sweet. She said, listen, just be more specific because I know you're naive at this, but they're in radio. They can't see you. Look, the book is about not getting peppered up. The book. Mm-hmm. And how do we human beings are getting peppered up? Maybe they're not getting a medical diagnosis that says they're screwed. You know, they might mm-hmm. still, you know, stick a fork in it and turn them over. Maybe their addiction is anger. Mm-hmm. Do you realize how many times we are peppering ourselves up? Mm-hmm. We're driving and we're having full conversations inside our head.
Wait a minute.
So, Doc.
Road rage.
Okay, so hold on. So let me kind of put this out there for people. So what you're saying is a person has to get back to the core of who they really are. And look internally at that you have the capability a lot of times to self-heal yourself by ridding yourself of emotional toxins.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got to realize if you're being peppered up, I'm talking about what it means to be a fully mature human being. And I'll tell you, it's a scarce commodity. That's why we're here.
All right. We'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, we've got part two of my health and wellness segment, which I've miscalled Fitness and Wellness. I don't know. I'm just
with
trying
Dr.
to get
Habib
it together.
Sadeghi. With Dr.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, whatever it's coming out, it's not me. It's the renowned Steve Harvey.
You know,
he'll bring it out of you, Doc. He will. He'll bring it out of you.
Yeah, it doesn't work for everybody except Tommy.
Hey.
I just can't get through to him.
It's like, what does it mean to be a fully, you know, fully mature human being? What does it mean for us to hear something that we don't like and we don't lose control?
Mm-hmm.
And we get to choose from a place of surrender. You know, thy will be done. What does that mean? What does it mean to come from a place of centeredness? Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. That's what this book is. It's an empty cup off the cover. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's an empty cup. If you can come from a place of emptiness into your relationship, it could be a wife, it could be your husband, it could be your son, it could be your boss.
See, so here we go. Mm-hmm. So that's why we say people bring in baggage to relationships.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pour Jamaica Blue Mountain in your cup. Mm. But if you already got some ammonia in the cup,
you're going to get poisoned.
This is not going to taste right.
No, I'll give you an example, Steve. I got pulled over. This is today. Here's what I did. The minute I got pulled over, I lowered my window. I stuck both hands outside. The guy comes around and he says, boy, aren't you paranoid? I looked at the guy and said, you know, officer, I have a lot of compassion for you. Your job is very stressful. And anything I can do to make it easy, it would be my privilege. I swear to God, I could see tears welling up in this man's eyes. Mm. He looked at me and he says, you know what? Slow down. Have a great day. Now watch this. If my cup was filled up and I'm sitting, I'm going, that's it. Oh, look, I got there because I'm one eyebrow Iranian man, and he's that's why he's pulling me over. And
did you say one eyebrow Iranian man?
Yeah, whatever it is. Look,
come on, Doc.
Look, if my cup was filled up and the guy, by the time he comes in, I'm just like about to explode. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, that's what we're talking about. Here. Every morning you wake up, before you start your day, get a piece of paper, sit down somewhere where you don't have to be disturbed for 12 minutes.
Okay.
Take a survey of your cup. Here's the question. You start writing. You say, what are my thoughts? What are my low-hanging fruits of my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions? Look, last night I had a disagreement. I had a fight with my beloved. We really did. We were talking for 2.5 hours. We went in the car because we didn't want to disturb the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we sat there and we talked, we screamed, we laughed, we cried, we loved, we hugged until we worked it out. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what mature human beings do.
Yeah,
they don't
amputate.
I've been
in the car for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's serious.
Lord, I'd be wanting to climb out the window. Man. God,
you stupid.
I'm talking about while the car moving, though. I'll just roll out here.
I hope Mrs. Marjorie's not listening to
this. No, man, oh, God, Lord Jesus.
But you do talk about that in your book, The Clarity Cleanse, 12 minutes each morning.
Yeah, it's called Pew 12, mm-hmm. Purge Emotional Writing. Pew 12, Pew 12, Purged Emotional Writing, 12 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. You start with that, and you write it.
What?
When you come back, can we talk about my loved one rejecting me the night before? But I ain't got past that part. I ain't got past that.
Dr. Habib Sadeghi, we love you. Thank you so much.
It's such a privilege
to
be
here. You make the room brighter when you come in, when you make an appearance.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Saturday is Cinco de Mayo, people. Cinco de Mayo is often confused with Mexican Independence Day. Cinco de Mayo commemorates the Mexican army victory at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War back in 1862, all right? Mexico actually declared its independence 50 years earlier. But Americans will celebrate anyway, since it's an excuse to, you know, to drink up. Some salted margaritas, anyone?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Pina coladas, anyone? All of that.
Drive a low rider.
Yeah, Mexican-Americans living in the U.S. agree that Cinco de Mayo has evolved into a huge festival that celebrates Mexican culture and heritage. Yes. People mark the occasion with elaborate family feasts, parties, mariachi music, and traditional folk dancing. So happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo.
What you going to do tomorrow, Tommy?
Now, this is just a Mexican holiday, right? Not Latino.
We celebrate Mexican culture and heritage, but don't we?
The Latino community.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm just saying it's Cinco de Mayo. I'm not sure. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm asking. Is it a Mexican holiday or is it a Latino holiday?
Well, it's Mexican because it commemorates the Mexican army's victory at the Battle.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Against France.
I know.
When they won.
Coming over here thinking it's finna be some easy win. Ain't no punks up in here. What?
It's Mexico.
Yeah. In Mexico, man. Go. Take the X out. Mexico. You want some? We got some.
Can you salsa dance, Steve?
I do everything, baby.
Okay, so that's a yes.
Salsa dance, mariachi dance.
They got a mariachi dance?
Hell, I play an accordion if I had one.
You can play the accordion?
Yeah, if I had one.
You played one before?
Yeah, on the show, yeah.
Oh, you have?
I played the drums with Shee Lee. I'm talented.
Oh, yeah, we saw that on Little Big Shots this past
Sunday. I ain't gonna lie to you, though. I'm talented. A little bit of boxing. You know, I'm talented.
You know what? You keep it up, though. You're going to be something. The world will get a chance to see this talent.
And I appreciate that, too, Shirley.
You're on your way, Steve.
And because coming from you is big, because you kill a person off in a heartbeat. For you to think that I'm still going to be here long enough to become somebody.
Yeah, you are.
It's like fascinating to me because you're the direct opposite with everybody else. Shirley doing a story on you. Quit listening.
I feel some kind of way in my heart about you, Steve, because I've known you for so long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a good feeling about you, Steve.
Okay. Shirley, I got a good feeling about you.
Good. Thank you. Good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Back to the margaritas. Frozen or
I love it.
On the rocks.
I like frozen.
I like frozen strawberry,
with
Carla.
Salt.
Frozen
with salt.
Strawberry. Okay.
I don't like strawberry margarita.
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah.
How could
margaritas,
I not?
Frozen, ice, salt on it.
Yeah. Okay. Chip and dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chip and salsa. Guacamole.
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 Fresh.
Guacamole.
Not the song, though.
Yeah. Guacamole.
Oh, I love it.
Started as an avocado. But I got to hold it. Made guacamole. avocado. Put some peppers.
Yeah.
And mash it.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
time you get it together. Closing remarks, and we'll be back at 49 after the hour. Adios.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, here we are, last break of the day, and Steve, give us something uplifting in your closing remarks, okay?
All right, today, everybody, in the vein of uplift again and aspiration to try to get everybody motivated. I've created a new thing, and I'll tell you about it shortly, and I'll tell you where you can get it. I'm doing nothing but a huge, huge, long motivational series, and I'll tell you about it shortly. It'll be drops of knowledge and wisdom and pearls of wisdom that you can use and carry out throughout the day. I want to talk to you about failure, because people say some very confusing things about failure. People say that they're afraid to fail. That's understandable. People say they don't want to fail. That's understandable. But a lot of people are frozen because of failure. Look, nobody wants to fail. I got you afraid to fail. I understand you saying, man, but if I fail and I don't make it, what I'm going to do then? I got all of that you're saying. But the biggest cause of failure in this country is just that. It is the fear of failing that causes the most failure in this country. It is that fear of failing. So that's what I want to talk to you about and give you some motivation. Here's what I came up with this morning. I just phrased it this way for the first time. Stop being afraid to fail if you do something, when failure is guaranteed if you do nothing. I'm going to say it again. Stop being afraid to fail if you do something, when failure is guaranteed if you do nothing. You have got to deal with your fear of failure. You have got to deal with your fears. I read something that Will Smith said the other day. Will Smith said, the best things in life are on the other side of fear. I thought that was so slick, man. The best things in life are on the other side of fear. When you're afraid of something, you have to address it. It's really not as daunting as you think. You know, it's like if you hear some heavy breathing behind you, and that heavy breathing, you go, oh, man, what is that behind me? But if you never turn around to address the heavy breathing behind you, that breathing gets louder. It gets stronger. And then your mind takes over, and all of a sudden, man, this thing that's breathing behind you is this out-of-control monster. Oh, my God, Godzilla back here breathing on my neck. Man, this has got to be the Bigfoot is behind me breathing on my neck. It could be a puppy up against your ear. If you turn around and address it, it could be just a puppy up against your ear. But because you're letting this go unaddressed, that turns into, and if you don't address it, that turns into, and next thing you know, what was really just a puppy in your ear, because you refuse to turn around and address it, it has become this out of control monster. Stop being afraid to fail if you do something, when failure is guaranteed if you do nothing. It's a guarantee that you will fail if you do nothing. In order to, what helps me lose my fear of failure is that I dream so big. What I want to happen to me in life is so powerful that I simply cannot live without it. And that helps me deal with all of the setbacks, hardships, troubles, trials, tribulations. It helps me face the fear, because what I want and what I dream about is so incredible. It would mean so much to so many people if all of my dreams come true, that I'm just in pursuit of it, man. My dreams are bigger than all of my fears. My fear of failure can't even begin to compare with my dreams, my visions, my hopes for tomorrow, what I hope to accomplish and become, what I hope to leave behind as my legacy, what I want my children's grandchildren to think of me. All of that is so big in me that it causes me to face and deal with any fear head on. The way to handle fear is through your dreams and your visions. Make your dreams and visions so big, so incredible, that you have to go get them, because, man, it will be so life-changing for you. That will give you the motivation to deal with these fears. And if you turn around and face most fears, you'll find out that they ain't what they look like. So one more time, stop being afraid to fail if you do something, when failure is guaranteed if you do nothing. Those are my closing remarks today. Y'all have a good one here.
Yes, sir.
I guess I can righteously say this now. I guess y'all will be all right with it today. Y'all have a great
yes.
weekend. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Yes.
Oh, and you got to drop the mic. Wait, drop the mic. Yeah.
Hold on.
You and that mic drop.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the actual mic.
Yeah, that's what we want. That's the mic.
Y'all have a good one. Yeah,
happy
man.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, happy yeah. Cinco de Mayo. What y'all doing this weekend?
Guacamole.
I will be in Florida eating lettuce. Summit.
Yeah. Oh, you on your cleanse?
Man. You just want the roof.
Y'all have a great weekend. That's cooked too. You can't have it.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.